You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So it is Christ the King Sunday. It's a special time in the life of the church where the church year comes to an end with a celebration of the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, not as a baby in the manger, but as Christ the King, with all the glory and the majesty that that brings with it. And then next Sunday, we begin the church year again with the first Sunday in Advent, where we celebrate the coming of Christ into the manger. We celebrate the coming of Christ into the lives of humankind. You see, the first Advent that we begin celebrating next Sunday leads us to this point, Christ the King, the reign of Christ the King, on the second Advent, and all of it in between ties together. And so all of the passages of Scripture that are appointed for us today, including the ones that were just read from Psalms and from John. Was it John? It was John. All of those have to do with this coming of Christ as Christ the King, including our epistle for today, which comes to us from the last book of the Bible, Revelation, written by John, as he recorded the vision that was given to him as he was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. Jesus Christ himself gave him a vision, and this is one part of it that is very special because in it, it sums up the gospel in 8 verses. And so we're going to kind of go through those a little bit so we have a better understanding of this Christ the King who you and I are here to worship today. So we begin halfway through verse 4 in Revelation 1, and we get a greeting. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So here on this Christ the King Sunday, we read John's account in Revelation 1 about the vision that Christ gave to him about things that are coming, things that are to be. And in the opening verse of this passage, we receive, you and I, the church, receives a greeting, not just any greeting, but a blessing from the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And John relates that greeting to us Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. That's the eternal Father God, the one who gives grace. And from the seven spirits who are before the throne, that is the completeness, seven being the number of completeness, the complete Holy Spirit God. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. This is God the Son, King of kings, Lord of lords. So you have this greeting and blessing. There's a blessing extended to you and to me from God himself. And it's a blessing. It's twofold. It's a blessing of grace, which we all need. And it's a blessing of peace, which we all crave. Turn to somebody and say, I crave peace.
I crave peace.
Doesn't matter where you got up this morning. Doesn't matter what you had to do to get ready to come here to worship. Whether it was an easy morning with a cup of coffee or a hectic morning trying to get kids one foot into a pants leg after the other. We all crave peace. You either have it and are thankful for it, or you don't have it and you wish you did. And so there's this blessing extended to you for grace and peace, and it comes from the only one who can provide grace and peace, that being the Prince of Peace, Jesus. And then following this blessing, we get a picture from John of the glory and majesty of Christ the King, and what he did for you and me in that wonderful, marvelous work on the cross. He says, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom. Did you know that you were a kingdom? Did you know that you are a priest in the kingdom? Did you know you have the responsibility of carrying the gospel to a fallen, broken world? And you were given that authority by Christ the King himself. Priests serving the God and Father of us all, including Christ our Lord. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. And then when we get to verse 7, see, we've had the invitation, we've had the greeting, we've had the blessing. We understand who the blessing comes from and what he did for us. And now we get the prophecy and the promise of Christ the King's imminent return. Verse 7. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. In other words, those of us who believe will see him, but also those who didn't believe will see him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So either you're wailing hallelujah or you're wailing oh no. And that all depends on what side, what perspective you hold as your viewpoint. And then finally in verse 8, we receive this affirmation of where the promise comes from, or from where the promise comes. What's the source of this promise in this passage of Scripture? Verse 8 tells us, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, the Almighty is about as close as we can come in English, but in the original language, that phrase means the one who is in authority, the one who is sovereign, the one who has all the power, all the might, not just in the future, but also in eternity past and also in the present, the one who is all in all, the one who is through all and in all, absolutely powerful. And so we say Almighty. So the promise of the return of Christ the King is the assurance that What began with the first advent of Christ in the manger for the redemption of the world, for the forgiveness of sins, for the conquering of sin and death, will ultimately, through the prophecy and the promise, culminate in the second advent of Christ the King. The second advent. Much more glorious than the first, although it was pretty good, you have to admit. Much more glorious because it is one of total victory, total vindication for the faithful, total redemption for those who persevere in the faith to the very end, not giving in to the deception of the world, but rather through the blood of Christ, those who conquer and share in the victory of the resurrected Christ. And as I said, it all comes down to your perspective, to your viewpoint. Either you come from a world view or you come from a Christ view. And we talked a little bit about this. See, throughout history, mankind has been struggling in the tension between the world view and the Christ view. Going at it head to head and then tugging, trying to overpower one the other. And this tension takes place within us and around us. The tension doesn't originate with God. God is all powerful. Remember, He's the Almighty. Now we experience the tension because of our perspectives. If you recall, we talked a little bit last Sunday, and we would have had a really good conversation in class meeting, I suppose, if we'd been able to. But one of the reasons that we compartmentalize our lives as humans in this world is because we're caught in this tension between the worldview and the Christ view. We try to separate our world into boxes. We put our church life and our faith life maybe in one box. We put our work life in another, our church life in one. We put our everyday conversations and interactions with people in a box. We put our political life in one box, and we don't want one to bleed into the other because the world frowns on that. We can't have, for some reason, we can't have the church and the state mingle together as if there was any possibility of separating Christ out of anything. We try to put everything in a box. And I gave the analogy the other day about food on a plate. For those of you who like to have your food separate, not touching, the Luann platter plan of life, right? Where you have your green beans over here and you don't want any of the juice to roll into your mashed potatoes. And it's an interesting thing because it's a false concept. Because when you take a fork full of green beans and put it in your mouth and chew it up and swallow it, and then you take a fork full of mashed potatoes and put them in your mouth, that false separation between those compartments goes away when you ingest it and digest it into your body. There's no separation. It all becomes a part of who you are. Same thing with your spiritual life versus all the rest of your life. You can't put it in a box and keep it separate any more than you can from keeping the green bean juice out of the potatoes. Can't happen. It doesn't work that way. So if we look at the Bible, and indeed we should look first, we see from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from Genesis through Revelation, we see this tension, this struggle in people trying to sort out in some way their faith life from the rest of their existence. And what our scripture is trying to tell us is that Christ the King rules over all of it, and it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. Do you see how compartmentalizing your life is an impossibility in the kingdom of God? Can't be done. And we shouldn't try, but we do. We do. So in the scripture passages appointed for today, we see even in 2 Samuel, King David declares that he is in fact king of Israel by the sovereign grace and authority of the one true God. It's not his own merit that made him king. He was anointed king by God himself. And he declares that all of his work, all of his writings, all of his psalms, all of his music, all of the accomplishments that David accomplished in his life were made possible by the inspiration and favor of the real sovereign, who is the Lord God Almighty. David declares in his works that the king who rules righteously is the one that follows the Lord. His kingdom is light and life. That's the Christ view. But he also says that the wicked are like thorns which are to be burned up in the fire. You see, wickedness, the way of darkness and chaos, that's the world view. Righteousness is light and life. Wickedness is darkness and chaos. Worldview versus Christ view. And so in this Psalm 132, a psalm written by David, David remembers that he brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Now, what was in the Ark? The Ark contained the Ten Commandments, the law of God. And he brought it to Jerusalem, the seat of the people of the nation of Israel. He brought it there so that the people would have a baseline of what righteousness looked like. The Ark of the Covenant of God to the people of Israel contained the Ten Commandments, the law of God, and showed people what the standard for righteousness was. It showed them what life looked like in the Christ view. Well, here's the problem. Nobody could live up to the Ten Commandments. The reality was that not one person could ever attain the high standard that God had set. The worldview was that sin had enslaved the people of God. While all that's true, God honored David's action, bringing the Ark of the Covenant to rest in Jerusalem. And because of that faithful act, God swore to David a promise that one of David's line would occupy his throne forever. This is the Davidic covenant that promises that out of David's, out of his lineage would come the eternal Lord sitting on the throne of David, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So then in Revelation, in our scripture passages for today, we see John describe his vision of the fullness of God's promise coming to fruition. Grace and peace to you from the one who is and was and is coming, from Jesus Christ, the ruler of the kings of the earth. See, it's really easy for us, mere humans, to get sucked into the worldview. We're very easily distracted by things that promise satisfaction, by shiny objects that draw our attention away from what our soul and spirit truly yearn for. I see this every day with our Great Dane, Max. He gets let outside for one purpose, to do his business. But if there's a squirrel, all that goes out the window until the issue of the squirrel is dealt with, because he's easily distracted. We're kind of like Max in that regard. We'll leave this service this morning all full of the Holy Spirit, got the Holy Ghost, right? And we'll walk out in the world thinking about all the people that we know that probably need Jesus. And then some bright, shiny object, some distraction, some squirrel will catch our attention, and we'll forget all about the purpose that God has ordained us as ministers of the faith. This is the world in which we live. We need to get better at focusing on what's important as the church. So these shiny objects draw our attention away from what our soul and spirit truly yearn, which is relationship with the one who made us and peace that the relationship brings with it. We crave peace. Tell somebody next to you, I crave peace.
I crave peace.
Crave peace. We're designed by God for peace and order. Chaos does not exist in the kingdom of God. That's something we're very capable of bringing in ourselves, isn't it? See, the thing about peace and order is they only come from the one true source. Jesus is the only way to achieve either peace or order. Only way to get grace is from God. We can't generate our own grace. We might be tempted to look for grace and peace elsewhere, but the world only offers these cheap imitations that are temporary at best, and at their worst, they're intentionally deceptive. Because the devil's out there prowling around like a hungry lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's got his demons hard at work. What kind of squirrels can I throw in the path of these Christians to distract them from the purpose that God has placed in their lives, the calling God has made in their lives? So don't be misled. Don't be diverted. Don't be sidetracked. You have to invest in the only real source of grace and peace and order, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus assures you, if you look at John chapter 14, verse 27, he tells you, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Jesus is the one that brings the peace. Jesus is the one that brings the order. Jesus is the one. There's no substitute. There's no alternative. There's hundreds of world religions, but only one of them's true. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, says Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Our next hymn is Come Thou Almighty.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.